to show you how we're progressing as a church. Let me read you a letter that I put in the CDs or the tapes, not CDs, tapes that we sent out. This goes back to the cassettes. And then you tell me how much has changed since this went out, which I don't even remember sending it. Dear brothers and sisters, number one, your relationship with the Word of God will determine your usefulness to God in the days ahead. That changed? Number two, therefore, if the Word of God has to run through a maze of preconceived and biased doctrines, preconceived and biased doctrines or private interpretations, it will make the real Word of God of no effect in you. Matthew 15:6-9. Number three, only a right relationship with the Word of God can and will produce a right relationship with God. John 1:1. Number four, all things of God are spiritually discerned and are only revealed as Jesus Christ is revealed through His Word and by the Spirit. A couple scriptures here. Number five, therefore, if you can catch the vision of consuming God's Word day and night, especially the Gospels, you will be transformed from the inside out. Romans 12:2. Number six, the messages that you hear will not save you or change you. Their only purpose is to point those who hear them towards a concentrated intake of the eternal Word of the Holy Spirit, which is spirit substance. Number seven, therefore, if you will trust your soul to the discerning power of the Spirit of God only, you can avoid the demonic substitutes. Are you listening to what I'm reading? This is so far back, I don't remember writing it. Number eight, if we are told to not even lean to our own understanding, what are our chances when we trust our souls to men? And then here's what I wrote in there. I have played church games in one way or another all of my Christian walk. I have enjoyed the Christian entertainment and music, the intellectual speculation games of the Scriptures. Intellectual speculation games of the Scriptures. Are you following what I'm saying? And the powerless atmosphere of man-led systems. Powerless. Having a form of godliness and denying the power. I finally got old and tired of the hopelessness of the whole thing, and so I turned to the Lord with all of my body. You know what? It's not worded quite right, because that's not really what happened. The Lord caused this to happen. It sounds like I'm taking a little credit here, and I can't take any credit. And I turned to the Lord with all of my body, soul, and spirit. God then turned me over to His Word day and night, and the light has been rapidly turning on ever since. Brothers and sisters, we have never really known the real Word of God. The reason being that it is only revealed to babes who hunger and thirst for truth. Matthew 11:25. He has hidden these things from the wise. He says, I thank you, Father, that you've hidden these things from the wise and the prudent and revealed them to babes. These messages are far from perfect, but God has given them for a specific purpose, and that purpose is to bear witness of the light, which is the eternal, unchanging Word of God. Jesus said, I am the light. What else was He? The Word was made flesh. May God richly bless you as you listen in His service. And I said, give these tapes some time and pray about it. Well, anyway, since then we've evolved up to CDs. In the 37th chapter of Ezekiel, I want to update you. You know what? I wasn't updated till this morning when I read this. And so I'm going to see if you can pick the update. Pick up the update.
What chapter?
Ezekiel 37. You're all familiar with this. There have been a lot of songs sung about it. You and I have sung songs about the dry bones and so forth. But let's get a different picture. Now, this is a vision that Isaiah or that Ezekiel had, right? Listen to it. The first chapter, verse 1. Or, I mean, the 37th chapter, verse 1. The hand of the Lord was upon me. Now, vision or otherwise? And carried me out in the spirit of the Lord. That sounds like a little bit more than a vision. He carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley which was full of bones. You know, I have never really saw what this said. The Lord carried him out in the spirit somehow, like Philip was, you know, after he prayed for the eunuch and he was translated to another, or taken to another place. He was carried by the Spirit out into this middle of this valley of dry bones. Okay, and then here's what it says in verse 2. And he caused me to pass by them round about. He caused him to walk around about throughout the valley of the dry bones and get a good look at them. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very, very dry. Well, anyway, what that did, that gave me a little bit different picture at what God wants us to see. You know what, whether anybody and everybody gets upset with me and disagrees with me, it doesn't matter. We have a church disaster today. The whole thing is a disaster. And the reason being is, almost without exception, every scripture in this Bible tells us that we are to go exactly by what this says. Every scripture in here tells us that. Scripture after scripture after scripture after scripture after scripture. Jesus said, if you continue in my word, did that mean his interpretation, his interpretation, his interpretation, his interpretation? Is that what it means? Or does it mean what God meant by what he said? You tell me what it is. If you continue in my word, guess what? Then you're my disciples. What if you continue in somebody else's word? Then whose disciple are you? Do you follow me? As I have listened and listened and listened and listened, I realize God is the most dogmatic, I don't even know what to call him. He's a creator. He is the most dogmatic about his word of any person. There's nobody like him. I want you to do what I say. And if you don't do what I say, you're going to pay the consequences. Okay, now let's get into something else. The 34th chapter of Ezekiel. See, that was 37. Let's go back to and the 32nd or 33rd chapter. And now let's hear what the people are saying about Ezekiel. Try to listen to this. Try to hear what this. It took me a while to hear it. In the 30th verse of the 33rd chapter, and here's what God said to Ezekiel. He said, "Thou son of man," see, that's what he's being called here. "The children of thy people still are talking about thee by the walls and in the doors of the houses, and speak one to another, everyone to his brother, saying, come, I pray you, and hear what the word that cometh from is coming from the Lord." But anyway, he says I missed it. "The children of your people still are talking against you." Some prophet. Your friends are talking against you. They're mocking you. "And they come unto thee as the people." Now listen, verse 31. I mean, we're still, these are the people. And they come unto thee as the people cometh. And they sit before thee as my people, and they hear thy words, but they will not do them, for with their mouth they show much love. With their mouth they show much love, but their heart goes after their covetousness. And lo, thou art unto them as a very lovely song of one that hath a pleasant voice, and can play well on an instrument, for they hear thy words, but they do not do them. And when this comes to pass, and it will come, then shall they know that a prophet has been among them. He's going to do some devastating things. And so then, verse 34, or chapter 34, that's where I wanted to get to anyway. But I had to back up a little bit and get to the other part of this thing. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. That's chapter 34. Prophesy and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God unto the shepherds, Woe be to the shepherds of Israel that do feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flocks? And you know what? You know what a shepherd does? When David, you know, he was a shepherd and took care of his father's sheep and so forth. And guess what? Guess what shepherd? What David's job was? To find green pastures. To find good food for the sheep. What is a shepherd's job? What is it? To find good food for the sheep. So prophesy against these shepherds. You eat the fat. You clothe yourselves with the wool. You kill them that are fed. But ye feed not the flock. And it hit me. God have mercy on us, on this generation that Paul prophesied about to Timothy. It's perilous times. Is it perilous? It is. It gets more perilous every day as I listen to the scriptures. I have a choice. Quit listening to the scriptures. That's the choice. Or listen to them. Either listen or don't listen. But when you listen, faith comes. Faith comes by hearing, not by the word of God. And so you listen to the scriptures. It says, The disease ye have not strengthened, neither have ye healed them which were sick, neither have ye bound up that which was broken, neither have ye brought again that which was driven away, neither have ye sought that which was lost, but with force and with cruelty have ye ruled them. And we live in a strange system today. We have organized religion. And you know what organization does? It always sets somebody over somebody else. And I have been a part of this thing. I have been a part of almost every phase of it. And from the denominationals, the Lutherans, all the way up to the hardcore Pentecostals. And as I have watched, and I realized this last week, I have always watched the one that is in a position to take control. Somebody has always taken control over everything else. I can remember an organization that I was part of. I wasn't a pastor, but I was a part of the thing. And a fellow slowly rose up until people became afraid to question anything he said. Remember the story where Jesus... The religious leader said, he says, have any of the Jews, have any of us believed in him? And you know what the answer was? Of course not. But they were the leaders. He came unto his own, and the leaders refused to receive him. Why? He didn't meet their status quo. But that's not what I was going to say. There's a story of a woman that was brought to Jesus who had committed adultery. And so, it says, the scribes and the Pharisees brought him before Jesus. They brought her before Jesus. And anyway, and they said that this woman was caught, she was caught in adultery. And so, according to the law, she should be stoned. So, what do you say? And you know the story. He bent over and wrote with his finger in the sand. And as he did, I imagine they started getting nervous. Because it says conviction began to come upon them. And so finally, he said, well, the one that's without sin, let him throw the first stone. And they began to leave, beginning with the least. Is that what it says?
No.
Beginning with the eldest, the leader. The leader, God made so much conviction in him. You know what happens when the leader goes? So does everybody else. He had become an authority figure over the rest of them. And the conviction became so strong, the poor guy had no choice but to leave. And I thought, that's an example, but I watch this repeatedly. That's why organization is so dangerous. Because if the devil is able to imitate the spirit of the Holy Spirit, if he's able to imitate him, and if he's able to set up ministers that appear as ministers of righteousness in 2 Corinthians 11, is he able to slowly find somebody that will usurp the authority and buffalo the rest of them? You follow me? Is he able to do that? I have watched this thing. And I'm no expert on it, but I have watched this thing. Woe to you, shepherds! And they were scattered, because there is no shepherd. And they became meat to all the beasts of the field when they were scattered. My sheep wandered throughout all the mountains. It says in Amos, it says, and they shall wander from sea to sea, and from the north to the east. And they shall seek to hear the word of the Lord, and they shall not hear it. Why? Because they're not hearing the word of the Lord. They're hearing theories and all kinds of other things. Therefore, ye shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As I live, saith the Lord God, surely because my flock became a prey, and my flock became meat to every beast of the field, because there was no shepherd, neither did any shepherd search for my flock, but the shepherds did feed themselves and fed not my flock. Therefore, O ye shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Well, let me tell you what else the rest of, you can read it if you want, but let me tell you what the rest of the story is. God said, since my shepherds will not do what I ask, then I will do it myself. And I got it. Jesus says, when the Holy Spirit comes, he will lead and guide you into all truth. It's out of my hands. It's out of your hands. It's out of his hands. God set it up in such a way that the Spirit, when it came, would lead and guide you into all truth. But we have not used him. We are just barely beginning to at this point. A handful of people. I looked out here and I saw half a dozen cars. And I thought, what a mockery this must look like. And I thought, but what God is doing inside of me, it doesn't bother me. It doesn't really bother me. Because God said, I am against the shepherds, and I will require my flock at their hand, and cause them to cease from feeding the flock, neither shall the shepherds feed themselves anymore, for I will deliver my flock from their mouth, that they may not be meat for them. And then, I'm going on, I wasn't going to read it, but I'm going to. For thus saith the Lord God, behold, both search my sheep and seek them out. As a shepherd seeks out his flock in the day that he is among the sheep that are scattered, so will I seek out my sheep and will deliver them out of all places where they have been scattered in a cloudy and sick day. And that's exactly what happened as the new covenant came upon us. And that's why God wants to write this thing in our hearts. And I feel good. And Charlie prayed for me for restoration. And almost like 70 years going backwards. Well, I only feel like I'm about 8 or 9. Yeah, knocked 70 years off of Keith, and then I threw in 60 years off of me, too. And maybe you youngsters knocked 50 years off of you. But no, no, we 40 years, and there wouldn't be many of us left, would there? But anyway. But yes, it's a little funny to be thinking of what we've been hearing for, these 14 years as being new and fresh. That seems a little odd. But that's my prayer. Be new and fresh. A little funny for the children of Israel that out there in the desert be saying, oh boy, manna, can't wait, you know. Eat it for 40 years and have it be new and fresh. But, that doesn't make any sense at all to the natural man. You know, be eating the same thing for 40 years, you know, and have it be new and fresh. Makes some sense to us, though, doesn't it?
Yes.
That makes some sense. And it's the spirit that does that. You know, the natural man doesn't do that. But you can have the same thing and have it be new and fresh. New and fresh. Yeah. Knock 70 years off. Or 60 or whatever.
Well, Keith, I got some good news. There's a church up the road here, right when you turn off and cross the railroad tracks. I saw 3 cars there. The Gospel Fellowship, little church, 3.
So we have poison then.
Service starts at 11.
Oh, people, I tell you, it is an amazing experience to be involved with you guys and be involved with these other guys. It's remember when we used to have Sunday school at 10 o'clock?
Yeah.
For an hour, unless Steve was teaching, and then it was an hour and a half. And then it was worship service from 11 till 12:30, 1. And then Sunday night service at 7 o'clock until 9:30. And then Sunday evening service, or Friday evening. You know, did we have any hobbies back then? We were here all the time. And then that was just the beginning. Then half the people in the church got keys, and 5 in the morning there'd be 5-6 people here. I'd go to work, come back. Till 9:10 at night there'd be 13, 20, 30, 60 people here. I didn't watch professional football in those days. Didn't care to. Didn't want to. Corky kept me posted every now and then. You know, Packers blew another game. They weren't very good back then anyway. But Corky wasn't watching football much. None of us were doing much of anything, but all excited and didn't want to miss. I mean, my goodness, something new happened. You know, Vicki Walterstorff And all of a sudden, everybody, boom, shows up, and deliverance, what? Demons, what? Really? Were you there? No, but I'm going tonight. And there was all this urgent anticipation, and it was a wonderful thing. I mean, mixed up with a lot of man's mistakes, I don't really care about that. What I remember is an anticipation, you know, I was watching faith build. We didn't know what was coming, but we knew something was coming, and we knew it was going to be good, and it all wasn't 100% good, but it was a lot of what was good. And I think once in a while we need to say that, because so much has been said of what was wrong. You try to pay people $5 an hour to come to church for 2 hours. Try it once. I was joking with my dad this morning. They announced, my other church this morning, they said, no, there won't be any Sunday school next week. We're having an early Easter breakfast, and they listed the menu. And I told my dad, I said, well, instead of 30 people for Sunday school hour next week, there'll be about 90. When the roll's on the counter, I'll be there. The supper rooms, not too many upper rooms. It's funny but sad at the same time. You can have believers been born again since before I was born. Dear old Mabel, the matriarch there, 91. And, boy, you know, let's meet for pre-service prayer. And they do. 5 minutes to 9 o'clock. For 4.5 minutes, they have pre-service prayer. Four people, including Mabel. Everybody's out talking, chit-chat. Badgers. You watch the Badgers last night? Yeah, I watched the Badgers last night. You know, I'm listening, and I'm being an observer. Not one scripture was discussed. Nothing regarding the kingdom of God. No prayer requests mentioned. It was no different than what you'd find if you went to Heckles on a weekend or a week night. No love for the Word of God, no reverence, no expectant, just same old yada yada. And I'm involved with that. And then the doors close and it's Sunday school time and now we take prayer requests and now it's, you know, button your spiritual coat. It's spiritual time now. Let's pretend we've all been praying for Toots LaRue and her sister too, who are all sick. And yeah, well, I've been praying. You know what? I'll bet you a lot of times when people say I've been praying for you, they in fact were not even.
Yeah.
I've been guilty of that.
Me too.
We say we pray. We don't. Bible says, pray without ceasing. What does that mean? Well, it sounds like you're way out of balance and a fanatic. It's not my scripture. I didn't write it. I read it. The phenomenal thing is, as I'm walking down this two-lane road, and I'm experiencing churchianity and I'm experiencing Christianity, and I don't really care if anybody hears what I'm talking about on this tape. If it's, I really don't care because I'm speaking a truth. I'm speaking. I'm observing. I see people of faith, and I see people who say they're of faith. And I know what group I want to be in. I want to be with the people of faith. I want to be a man of faith. Don't you? Isn't it? I mean, even though I turn around and prove that I'm carnal again. Yes, I'm carnal. I fail. I did it again. I'm okay with that in as much I know I'm fallen. But on the other side of my mind, I know I want God. I know I want spirituality. I know I want holiness. And we're at the same time, you know, reconciling our manner of man we are. You know, it's just like we're like the three-headed Trinitarian. We're kind of like two-headed men. You know, first we're in the carnal, then we're in the spiritual. And we're such phonies. I was in Bible college once. Me and somebody were saying some stupid thing, walking down the foyer. Come around a corner, here comes Mark Yorkers. All of a sudden, we put on our spiritual... He's a Bible college teacher. Yeah. And then, as soon as he passed us, we're right back, you know, talking about... I mean, it wasn't evil, but it wasn't godliness. And the scripture says, provoke one another unto godliness. And I don't know how to do that, but I'm starting to see it.
Yeah, that's good.
And we've not the first time we've been experiencing this. You tend to provoke each other to godliness when you show up 7 nights out of the week for prayer in a church for 3-4 hours. Doesn't that kind of sometime do something to you a little better than watching 4 hours of television? And I want life. I want eternal life. I want all things that pertain unto life and godliness.
Yeah.
But the resume of my life is filled with a whole lot of things that have nothing to do with life and godliness. But that doesn't nullify my desire any more than it nullifies yours. Our desire is admirable.
Yeah.
And I think the Lord looks down and I think He's pleased. You know, that little bit of faith we muster up and offer Him, just a little bit of thing that we give Him when we think about it and try and say, okay, I'm going to do this. Here, Lord, here's my sacrifice. You know, it's the best I can do. He goes, well, you know, I know it. It's probably not the best you can do, but it's the best you can do right at this minute, and I accept it. It's okay. I'm not going to hit you over the head and give you, you know, 35 things to memorize and homework, spiritually speaking, go try to drum up some righteousness. That doesn't work. But it's that attitude of heart. If we do that, and if we do it without any strings attached, with a pure heart, I mean, He loves that. And how many times has it been said, it really doesn't matter where you're at. In any given moment in time, God can transform you. What happens when a person answers their very first altar call and gets born again? A miracle takes place.
Yes.
One decision. One moment. One point in time when just unadulterated, Lord, help me, save me. And He responds to that. And those moments are daily available, hourly available. We still have that privilege.
Yes.
And there's nothing wrong with expecting a miracle. Even though, you know, people are dying every day. My brother-in-law Steve Fay just lost his second wife. And we fail. We pray and then God doesn't raise the body or heal the disease, but we have to just keep our wits about us regarding this whole big thing. And expect a miracle, even though the last 99 prayers didn't get answered the way you felt like it. I can still, as a believer, expect a miracle, and so can you.
Amen.
That was really, really good, John. As he was talking, I was thinking of Paul. The most profound epistles written in the Bible are written by Paul. Phenomenal revelations and understanding. Some of the things where he sets aside, of course, he was raised as a Pharisee, taught as a Pharisee, taught under Gamaliel, probably one of the best Jewish teachers ever. And as such, we have these phenomenal revelations and spiritual things that Paul, that God uses Paul to bring to us. In the middle of this whole thing, in the 7th chapter of Romans, Paul paints a story of my life and your life. The good that I would, I do not. The evil that I would not, that I do. And that's in the King James, but he gives us a resume. It's what, and I'm thinking, when I, you know, I used to read that and think, Paul, that had to be a former time. That couldn't be a present state. And then I realized, yes, it was. And I realized why. As we have listened to the scriptures and gotten, I realized, yes, it is a present condition. He says, and so then he sums up this whole thing in the first verse of the 8th chapter. Therefore, after he said all of these things, and he says, who's going to deliver me from this hell-bound flesh? What are my chances? And then he says, therefore, in chapter 8, verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus, who walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh. And you know, here's what I heard from John. I really loved that testimony this morning. Can I tell you why? Because that's us. And that's us. And God is looking at that part. And he knows we're flesh. He knows we're weak. And I tell you what, I got to the point where I pretty much quit condemning myself. And I'm looking to the spiritual end of the thing and realizing that God is seeing the other side. Because the good that I would, I don't do either. And the evil that I would not, that I do. You know what I mean? But the percentages are changing. It's getting better. That was a good testimony. And I don't know if everybody picked it up, but I was picking up things that I was hearing. I thought, yeah, that's us. And that's the truth. We've had that form of godliness and denying the power. We're getting a better godliness, and we're starting to acknowledge the power. You know why people don't accept or acknowledge the power? It's because their doctrinal things have removed them from the power that is in the Word of God. You follow me?
Amen.
If our doctrine has gotten us so far away, it has become a man-made doctrine. Theories and things that are, you know, private interpretations. Peter said, "There is no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation." Oh, really? I have looked at so many things that I have believed, and I thought, where in the ding-dong did that come from? And I can't even say it came from Seattle, right? I don't know where it came from. But I thought, well, that's what the Scripture didn't say that. I can't find any Scriptures that say that. And I've listened, just like those Scriptures, you know, Ezekiel 37. Well, that's not a big major Scripture thing, but the 37th chapter of Ezekiel doesn't start like I've quoted it. I have quoted that, misquoted that to you for so many times. So what you do is you read it and you find out what it really says. That's what it says.
I wanted to tag onto John's testimony briefly because I have to confess I spent a lot of hours here not because that was my heart but because that was the peer pressure at the time. And I would say my testimony is that's not today's problem with me. Every minute that I'm here is a minute that in my heart I want to be here.
That's good.
And that's the growth.
Yeah.
Because, you know, some of you might not have known, but, you know, you missed 2 weeks, and if someone didn't die in the family, you had phone calls. I mean, people were worried. So, while I'm not dismissing any of the points about anticipation, and I think back then we were probably a little too excited to be looking for a sign than we were to seeking the heart of God. But the change that's taken place over these years is in how I have become open to see what God has for me unconditionally. And developing a heart to follow His will, to accept His plan for me, regardless of how that doesn't really line up or make me feel good in the natural. And I'm here to tell you that I'm changed in that way. In the past, I would have certainly wanted to have done things the way God wants, and I certainly hope they aligned up really well with what I wanted. And, you know, because God was such a merciful God, there's no doubt that that wouldn't have happened. Because, you know, he doesn't want to see me suffer. Clearly. And now, if it's suffering that is needed, or if it's humbling, or if it's something that isn't naturally what you would assume is wonderful in the flesh, so be it. It's not about me. It's about Him.
That's right. Amen.
And the closer I can get to accepting Him with a good heart all the time, and that's not something, it's not, you know, I want to get to the point where it's not a choice. It's just second nature. Okay. It's not like, well, you know, it's like,
yeah.
That's where I want to be. And God is drawing me there. I'm closer. I probably do the weighing out 99 times, and once I get it right. In the past, it was probably not even the one. So, but that doesn't take away our anticipation for what God's going to bring and reveal. And I know I've kind of been a champion about numbers or lack of numbers. I believe that God is looking for hearts. He's not looking for masses. In a lot of scriptural settings where God kept reducing numbers to ensure that we wouldn't get carried away in thinking we were somehow involved in what He was doing. Now, I've sort of tell myself that I look around and go that seeing how we're not filled out to the rafters, I must be on a good track here because by numbers, I certainly can't think that we're anything wonderful.
Right.
But I can tell you from the bottom of my heart that the body ministry that goes on here every Sunday and the sharing of the travails and trials that we're all being faced, and the growth that He's bringing through you, in you, that I get to witness, and how it lifts me up and encourages me to go on and face the next day. I wouldn't trade it for anything. I would not trade it for a different setting or with lots of people and wonderful outreaches and da-da-da-da-da. I don't care about those things. I care about finding my God and making myself open to Him.
After hearing these excellent approaches, let me tell you what I didn't finish. In the 34th and 35th chapters of Ezekiel, God said, I'm going to take it out of the hands of men. The day came. I remember I was preaching messages on hearing the scriptures and so forth, and one day I told Joanne, I said, this is it. This is it. I have got to quit preaching. We have to turn this over to God. And you know how you do that? It would be nice if we could just sit there, you know, in a pious position and God would speak. And we'd hear His voice. You know, He'd keep talking to us. That'd be nice. But you know, He doesn't do that. He talks through you and through you and through you. And we have become so used to Him just speaking through one person that we are thinking that that's the answer to the thing. That is not it. God said, I'm going to take it out of the hands of the shepherds. So the New Testament comes along. And then here's the New Covenant. Are you picking this thing up? It took me forever. And if you are, you're ahead of me. I'm going to make a New Covenant. And here's the New Covenant, which He began to reveal to me 14 years ago. I did not know this. I am going to take it out of your hands, Keith Gunn. I'm going to take it out of the hands of the shepherds or hands of the flock or the hands of I'm going to do it myself. That's how I'm going to do it. And so what does He do? He said, here's what I'm going to do. You got to follow this. This is vital. He says, I am going to write my laws, write my laws on their minds and put them in their hearts. And then I will be their God and they'll be my people. We have been trying to go to this place and that place and this place, each one giving us cookies, you know, like he said, the rolls on the counter. When the rolls are on the counter, I'll be there. You know what I mean? And anyway, this has been our form of godliness, denying the power. God says, no, I'm going to take it out of your hands. It is not in my hands. It never was. I just thought it was. Amen. It's His thing. I am going to write my laws on their minds, or put my laws in their minds and write them on their heart. I don't know how I got it backwards maybe, but you know the picture. So what is the reason then for the intake of the scriptures hour after hour after hour after hour after hour? What do you suppose that this is happening to me all night long and all day long? All night. What do you suppose has happened to me in 14 years? People have said, well, you really, you know, you can quote a lot of scriptures and you know where these scriptures are. Duh. If I got any memory banks at all, shouldn't I be? And as it has happened, I have begun to realize God ordained it from the beginning. I saw it back in Isaiah and Ezekiel 34. I'm going to take it out of the hands of the shepherds. That was a prophecy. So then we go to chapter 37. And he sets Ezekiel down in this valley of dry bones. And he causes him to walk around about in the bones. So he's taking a look at this situation. What has happened to me as I've listened to the scriptures? I have been fundamental. I have been charismatic. I have been anything just about that you can name. I even went to a Catholic, Pentecostal Catholic church down in Denver for a number of Sundays. And you think, is there such a thing? It was one of the most spiritual Pentecostal churches that I've been in. And I tell you, they didn't sound like Catholics. And, but there's a number of them, and I can't think of what the name of the church was, but it was, there's a big sign that says, Christ is Lord, above the thing, and so I went in there. I didn't dream it was a Catholic church. It was. But God has, from the beginning, the new covenant has not been what we thought it was. I'm going to put a new covenant. I'm going to bring a new covenant. The new covenant is, I will put my words in their minds and write them on their hearts. How long do you think it took me before I realized what he's talking about? I didn't get it through Community Chapel, although I used to love the place. I didn't get it through the Bible teachers here. I didn't get it through the teachings of Keith Gunn. I didn't start getting it until I humbled myself and allowed the Spirit of God to begin to reveal the Word of God. That's how it came. So what do we have? We have a lot of wasted time in a lot of wasted places. And I've got to the point, I'm going to be 78, I got to the point that I can't waste a lot more.
What was the case with Glenn? Barb had to take Glenn home. He was having some pain or something. He had to go home.
Yeah, okay. Well, we'll do that here in a minute. Do we have anyone else who wants to come and share? Did you want to... I'm really glad to see Sue here today. God bless you.
Thank you.
We've really been praying. And I have been. After what John said, and he's right. You know, I said we've been praying for you, and we haven't been. You know, in some cases, but we have been. And I had a strange experience this morning, and. Strange. I don't even know what it was, but I woke up and I was shaken, and I didn't really feel good about whatever I was shaken about, but I don't know what I was shaken about. Is that confused you? But anyway, otherwise, let's. Did you have something you want to say, Sue? Oh, okay. God bless you.